Football systems check. Microphone.
Check. Record enabled.
Kate.
Check.
Michelle.
Check. All systems go. I repeat, all systems go.
We got a problem.
Copy. We have ball blast. I repeat, we have ball blast.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome into this special edition of the Ball Blast podcast. I am your host, Kate, and I am joined by Mr. Matthew Betts to discuss some injuries today. Lots to talk about, per usual. What's up, Matthew Betts?
Kate, how's it going? I am super excited to talk with you again today. I just feel like this show is so good for our listeners. Like, there's not that many waiver wire slash injury shows out there that exist, so I'm happy that this is making Ball Blast different than other shows, and hopefully our listeners are liking it and enjoying the content. But it's always just sad because, like, I love talking football, but at the same time, we just have to talk about really crappy situations with all these injuries.
Yeah, we have to talk about all the sad stuff first, which is never fun. But you know what? There's always a silver lining that we want to extract from our analysis of these situations, and hopefully help our fantasy players out there, our fantasy managers who are listening. Everybody, go follow Matthew Betts for the best injury advice ever at the Fantasy PT. Be sure to check out the Injury Football Tracker. Football injury tracker over at ballblastfootball.com, managed by Matthew Betts. Should we dive into it?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, we have to talk about the elephant in the room that is Dak Prescott. Ugh. I know we all know about the injury, but we have to give a fist bump, a fist raise for Dak Prescott. Tell us, give us the skinny.
Yeah, it's such a bummer for Dak. You obviously, the contract concerns and all that stuff, and now entering an offseason of uncertainty after he suffered a compound fracture and dislocation of his right ankle. This is the exact same injury that Alex Smith had last year, or 2 years ago, I should say. But I want to caution people, the recovery, most likely 99.9% chance, is not going to be the same as Alex Smith. So if anyone's thinking, okay, same injury, it's time to panic, not necessarily. He had surgery that night, because whenever you have a compound fracture, which essentially is when the bone pierces the skin, you have to have surgery right away, given the elevated risk of infection with those types of injuries. So that's why he was rushed to the hospital, had the surgery, reportedly is doing well, and now we'll see kind of how he recovers. Usually when that happens, you can't start rehab right away. It's usually about a month-long wait. And then from there, he's looking at about a 6-month recovery process until he gets back to football type of activities. So for Dak Prescott, I think he'll be okay for week one next year. I think if you're in a dynasty format, you know, certainly health shouldn't deter you from making a run at him. The only thing that I think we have to ask ourselves as far as question marks is, you know, where is he playing? What is his offense? You know, what's his contract? We don't know, because he was playing on the tag this past year. So I wish him well, hope he recovers fully, and certainly hope he gets paid, because he deserves it. He was balling this season in Dallas.
He was balling. It was such unfortunate timing. Everybody does seem to think that he will be quote unquote taken care of, but I remain skeptical because he wasn't taken care of before this injury. So that, I guess that's just me. But Dak absolutely was having a career year. So unfortunate. Let's dive into Mr. Baker Mayfield, quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. He had a rib injury. Looks like x-rays were good. He said, "Mama ain't raised no wuss." What did he say?
That's exactly what he said. Yeah.
All right. I thought I butchered it, but no, I got it. So is he going to be good to go for week 6? And should we expect any limitations if he is?
This is a situation that I'm kind of skeptical about. I mean, I put this out on my timeline on Twitter. The video of when he got sacked and threw the interception on the injury, on the play where he got injured. And I know everything came out about the x-rays being negative for his ribs and all that good stuff, but he lands on the outside of his right shoulder in what is a classic mechanism of injury, as we saw with Sam Darnold 2 weeks ago, where the AC joint injury is at risk. So this is one that I'm monitoring really closely to see how he progresses throughout the week and to see if he's even listed on the injury report at all because of his shoulder. But as far as the ribs are concerned, no real concern for me. I suspect he'll play with potentially extra padding kind of around his midsection to protect against hits to that area. But if it's no shoulder injury, just the ribs, he will play this week, and I think he'll be effective if that's the case. But I'm watching for that AC joint injury. I'm still not convinced that that's not involved here with this injury.
Interesting. Yeah, we really haven't heard anything about that. Let's talk about Dalvin Cook, left groin strain, likely out multiple weeks. What do we make of this? Is Alexander Mattison like your priority waiver pickup this week?
I think he is, but I also think we should warn our listeners to, you know, it's not a season-ending injury, right? So if this was like week five and we're like, oh man, Dalvin Cook's out for the year, then it's like, yes, don't even think twice about it. Blow all of your fab, spend your top waiver priority on Alexander Mattison and get him on your roster. I do still think he's the top ad this week. I'm just not probably going to overspend, and here's why. I mean, certainly these groin injuries are tricky, and so I'm not saying I have full confidence for Dalvin Cook for the next month or so, but he won't play this week, so you get Mattison for at least one start. But then they go on the bye week, and everything that I've heard and read about the Cook injury is that they're projecting him to potentially come back after the bye. Again, no guarantee, and certainly we'll you know, time will tell. But I fear that if you spend, you know, 90% of your fab on Mattison, you may only get him for one start. And so I do want to add him to my rosters, but I'm certainly maybe tempering expectations for the long term outlook of Mattison, who, by the way, looked great on Sunday Night Football. So that's kind of my take on the situation, but I think we need more details from Dalvin Cook's severity of his injury before we can really make a great call in terms of long-term outlook there for Mattison.
Now, if you are the lucky person who gets Alexander Mattison off of your waiver wire, even if you see Dalvin Cook returning, would you say it would be a wise move to keep Alexander Mattison on your bench, just given that this is a soft tissue injury?
Oh, I think that's a great call. Yeah, I mean, certainly you could argue Alexander Mattison should have been on rosters regardless, even before this injury, given Dalvin Cook's injury history and the fact that we know if anything happened to Dalvin Cook, which here we are, Madison is the guy. I mean, I think he had like 19 touches in that game when Cook was out. So he had a ton of volume, and I project that a lot moving forward as well. So yeah, I think Mattison is a guy that needs to be rostered in all leagues, even when Dalvin Cook is back healthy. And hopefully if you're the manager that had Dalvin Cook, you already had Mattison, you don't have to worry about this, but yes, he should be on rosters 100% moving forward.
Awesome. AJ Green out with a hamstring strain. I think it's more of a strain of his game time effort, because he
shots fired.
I don't understand. AJ Green doesn't look like he wants to be on the field, and I cannot understand it. Cannot. I mean, Joe Burrow threw this interception over the weekend, and AJ Green just sort of watched it go over his head slightly. Didn't make any effort to catch the ball, but guess what? The opposing defense did. AJ Green, what is going on with you? But regardless, his quote-unquote hamstring strain, I'm kidding, he does have a hamstring strain, will keep him out multiple weeks. He hasn't really been an effective fantasy asset anyway, so is the takeaway here just, like, get rid of him and let him go into the ether?
Yeah, you can drop him in all formats. I mean, it's unfortunate because he has such name value, but we're talking about a player who obviously is coming off two major surgeries in the past 2 years. Also spent time a few years ago heading to injured reserve because of a hamstring injury, and had a hamstring injury in training camp this year. And so, you know, the trend is not good. It's certainly trending in a negative direction. And like you said, even when he's been on the field, just hasn't been productive. So yeah, he's certainly off our fantasy football radar at this point of his career. And as far as the hamstring injury is concerned, you know, he's looking like he's going to miss multiple games here. So certainly if you need roster space, if you're running out of IR spots, then yes, you can drop AJ Green.
All of the above for me. Sammy Watkins also out with a hamstring strain. In the second quarter, just sort of grabbed his right thigh, back of his right thigh. Didn't return. We've got Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, who gets way too many targets. Who is the primary beneficiary here? Do you consider Mecole Hardman a priority ad at this point?
I think Mecole Hardman is a priority ad for me this week. And it's mostly because of the fact that we want pieces of this passing attack for the Chiefs. And Sammy Watkins, he hasn't been phenomenal, but he's been pretty decent this year for fantasy and has had some good weeks. Mecole Hardman just needs opportunity. As we've seen in the past, he's a guy that he only needs a few touches and can really explode for, you know, a great fantasy day. So for me, if I'm looking to replace Sammy Watkins as a depth bench wide receiver, then yes, I'm looking Mecole Hardman's way.
Love it. Deontay Johnson, wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He just keeps missing games, right? He suffered a back injury this week, had a concussion before that. He hasn't really been available. Now we have the emergence of Chase Claypool, stud rookie wide receiver, apparently. Guy I loved out of Notre Dame, but somebody that, you know, he was available relatively late in a lot of dynasty rookie drafts. Is this a guy that we might be seeing have a significant impact in redraft leagues? Is he worth the ad?
I mean, I think he has to be, right? Like, if you have a game like that against my Eagles, you have to do it. That was rough. That was rough to watch, but it was fun to watch. And also, yes, whoever was out there in the pre-draft process telling people that this guy should have been a tight end is just silly. So show yourself, own up to it. You were wrong. And hats off to you. I know you were big on Claypool in the pre-draft process. So yeah, he's super interesting. He's a really athletic guy. Certainly a major, major weapon when the ball's in his hands. And like you said, Deontay Johnson, while I still love the player, hasn't really been what we thought he would be, and it's mostly because of injuries, right? Had the concussion, now he's dealing with a back issue, and who knows how long he'll be out with that. Probably a week-to-week type of situation, but if he's not out there, then yes, Claypool is the beneficiary because Juju is still doing the same thing he's always been doing, which is manning the slot. Hasn't really been as productive as we would like to, but he's not going to change his role, and so the biggest beneficiary here is by far Chase Claypool, and I definitely want pieces of that Steelers offense, and he's a guy that I think I'm definitely willing to burn a top priority waiver on this week to get Chase Claypool on my roster.
And I think it's worth noting. So, you know, we saw Ben Roethlisberger go back to Chase Claypool. Obviously, I watched this game pretty closely as a Steelers fan, but he seems to have earned Ben Roethlisberger's trust, which is not an easy feat. And he's a young pup. So I'm pretty excited about that relationship. I know everybody is sort of like, sell high on Chase Claypool, but I'm not. I'm not going to do it. Because, you know,
you've been on him all along. Now's not the time to waver.
No. You know what? This is just simply validation for me. I think that, you know, even if we do see Deontay Johnson returning sooner rather than later, I have to wonder, did Chase Claypool just earn himself some playing time? Because that was a stellar performance. Tyler Eifert.
Real quick, I was going to say, for people that are looking more long-term with Claypool, and in general, the Steelers passing attack, I mean, they get Cleveland this week. They're giving up the third most fantasy points. Tennessee might be a little bit of a tough matchup, and then the Ravens. But then you got Dallas, Cincy, Jacksonville again. So really, really nice matchups coming up here for Chase Claypool, just to kind of look long-term for our listeners.
Yeah, I kind of want to buy in. All right, you got me. I don't know what to say. I'm going to pick him up everywhere. Mr. Tyler Eifert, didn't think we'd be talking about him in relation to any fantasy relevance here, but he is likely out week six with a stinger. Tyler Eifert hasn't been really relevant too much to begin with, but does this make James O'Shaughnessy a maybe viable stream? Are you just not going there?
I'm probably not going there. I mean, he's intriguing for DFS potentially, but it's tricky because, you know, like you said, Eifert wasn't really being used that much. He's only been playing about 60 to 70% of the snaps anyway, and he hasn't really been fantasy relevant. But it is worth noting because, as we're going to talk about here in a second with DJ Chark, now we're looking at even more opportunity opened up for the weapons in the Jacksonville offense. If you're looking at James Robinson to get a bump up in value and production, and then potentially, you know, other sleepers like Laviska Shenault or Keelan Cole, for example. That's really why I have him on the list here. But yeah, I don't think O'Shaughnessy himself will have much value. I mean, he's a guy that you're hoping finds the end zone on any given week, and at that point, it's just a dart throw.
DJ Chark, as you mentioned, out with an ankle injury, considered week to week. He has had some wobbly ankles over the past few years. Why don't you tell us about that?
I cannot comment on the wobbliness of the ankles. However, I can confirm there is a lengthy injury history. I mean, we're talking about a player who obviously last year missed time because of the ankle injury, but then going back to his days at LSU in college, missed multiple games a few years with ankle injuries. So I don't know the specifics of what's going on with this one quite yet, or if it's relevant to what he had going on last year. But certainly whenever you see the same recurring injury over and over and over again, you have to ask yourself, you know, how much is that going to affect him here moving forward? And I would be surprised if we see DJ Chark play this week specifically. Yeah, I mean, looking at the injury history, you have to ask yourself, are we looking at a multi-week absence? And I think with DJ Chark, we probably are.
That is unfortunate. But I do think that, you know, Keelan Cole might be definitely the most underrated guy in that offense right now. He's made some really big plays, big time catches, and he's still a name that I don't really see circulating much. So I think he's definitely at least my priority add out of this injury. But James O'Shaughnessy, definitely an intriguing DFS play. Last but not least, we've got Keenan Allen. With a back injury, supposedly, from Monday Night Football, had this killer touchdown from Justin Herbert. Looked absolutely incredible, as he always does, but ended up leaving the game and was eventually downgraded to out. We don't really have a ton of updates here, but I think the biggest takeaway has to be that Mike Williams, hashtag baller.
Oh, my God. I love Mike Williams. Oh, my Lord. Helped me take down a showdown GPP last night, so I will forever love Mike Williams. I've always loved Mike Williams. That will never change. But he just looks so good, and he needs opportunity. So, yeah, I mean, if Mike Williams is somehow on waivers, I think you need to add him. No, obviously, you need to add him. But I also just want to put out there, like, word of caution. They are on bye this week. So we're entering week six. They're on bye. And I think Keenan Allen will be okay in 2 weeks coming off of his back injury, but certainly the talent's there. And with Justin Herbert at quarterback, I mean, come on, you have to feel really, really excited about any of the pass catchers there in LA. And the schedule, I mean, it is a dream schedule here for the next month of the season. After the week six bye, they get Jacksonville, Denver, who's banged up, Vegas, Miami, the Jets, I mean, Atlanta, the Raiders again, like, it's going to be fantastic for the Chargers passing attack. So, yes, add Mike Williams. Do it with confidence. We love him.
And add Justin Herbert. Holy Moses, this kid looks absolutely fantastic, making some big boy plays. Got to respect the way that he handled himself on Monday Night Football. Anybody else you want to talk about before we head out?
I will just say last one, kind of mentioning looking forward. Julio Jones, I know people usually assume that if a player is a game time decision the week prior, they are close to playing the week after. I don't think that's the case here with Julio. I've been pretty adamant that he's not going to be 100% until we get to November at least. So I'm nervous about Julio if he plays in this matchup. We'll see. And of course, you know, monitor the practice reports. But he's a player that I'm nervous about. And I have bad vibes about happening with Julio here in the short term. So word of caution if he is active this week.
I do trust your tingly vibes. Everybody, if you have any injury questions for Mr. Matthew Betts, please give him an ad on Twitter and go ahead at him. Share your questions at the Fantasy PT. Be sure to follow Ball Blast Football on our team Twitter account at Ball Blast FB. Check us out on Instagram. We've got ballblastfootball.com with our injury tracker managed by Matthew Betts. He is the man. Do not forget to check out all of that awesome work that we've got going on. Check us out on Patreon. We get an extra podcast per week. We've got all this exciting stuff going on. You could join us in our Slack chat, asking us questions, doing dynasty roster evaluations. I mean, we're busy over there.
The player props, man. At this point in time.
Betts is killing it with the player props. What's your record right now?
We are up to 16-9 on the year, which is great. And on a hot streak in the past few days, which has been great. So, yes, please check that out. If you're doing any sports betting or player prop evaluation betting, I mean, that is the place to do it. And I think I try to make it easy for people to understand because betting can be so overwhelming. I just try to look at it from a fantasy perspective and then try to put a spin on it from betting and put the two together. So, yes, it's been great and really encourage everyone to check it out. $10 a month gets you so, so much value. And if you hit a couple of these bets, it's going to pay off and pay for itself in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll see you guys later again next week.